Drunk on Comics, Special Edition. Let's Talk Villains, a.k.a. Villains Month from DC.
But it's only been 1 week.
Yeah, but it's going to be the whole month. So we're just going to pretend like it's the end of the month and do a wrap-up before it starts. Reading.
Kevin's reading. Hurry up, Kevin.
Okay, I just read all of them. All
right, sweet. Yeah, so
all 13 of them?
All of them.
Well, is it 13 plus Forever Evil?
Yeah, so 14 of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, DC had a hell of a week. Looks like they're going to have a hell of a month.
Dude, they are going to own this month.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely. Fuck, dude. Like, so I go to the comic book store first thing in the morning, and honestly, the phone was not... This was a Saturday morning. I went in there. Phone was ringing off the hook. Do you have this? Do you have that?
Did they have any of the 3D covers when you were there?
They were all 3Ds. They didn't have any of the generic versions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or they might. I mean, this was Saturday, so they might have been sold out at this particular store I was at.
That's surprising.
And actually, I was surprised when I rolled up to the comic book store to see all the hollow foil special editions, because I get some of these comics in the mail, and they're just normal. There's normal covers.
Yeah.
So that's what I get. So in the subscription, so I got Darkseid number 1, which is technically Superman 23.1.
Yep.
And so I was surprised to see these available as options for a dollar more.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I know that our shop, which I can now say it's our shop now that Tony's going to the same place I am, they had them limited to one copy of each title per person. You know.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Well, you know, I think that's pretty cool because I haven't looked online. I did the very first day, and I mean, some of these were going for exorbitant amounts.
Yeah. Well, when I knew this was coming up, I'm like, I think I want to get every one. But I wasn't too sure. And when you called me up saying they have the last, you know, 3D-ish of this or whatever, I thought the few titles you named off were all of them. And then I'm like, fuck, there's like 4 more that don't have the 3D things up on the shelf.
Well,
I guess I need to grab those too.
Well, yeah, because I was, you know, I called Tony because I happened to go during lunch. And I said, hey, they're down to the last issue of this one and last issue of this one of the 3D covers. You know, do you want that? And he's like, well, what else do they have? And I start listing them, and I said, well, do you just want one of each of them that they have? He goes, yeah, I'll take one of each, not realizing that there were 13.
Yeah,
but
it broke the bank.
Yeah, I gotta say this though, and this is a huge, you know, huge props to DC. I thought I was gonna buy maybe one or two, and I ended up buying, not counting Forever Evil, I bought 5.
Why? I mean, were you brought in by the holofoil, or
they aren't holofoil; they're the true 3D motion.
Yeah, I know. I know. I want to say the holofoil just because we how many times have we said that in a normal podcast?
Twice. Just in one 2 minute segment, just twice, and then we did it again and again and again. But no, I bought them a lot curiosity about some characters, but also, I mean, like, the Cyborg Superman, I bought because the cover was so damn sweet. And the same with the Creeper. You know, I knew nothing about the Creeper. I'd never had any interest in Cyborg Superman. You know, the Bizarro I was kind of interested in. I bought Joker and I bought Poison Ivy. And actually, the Poison Ivy I bought because of the cover. I don't really care for the character that much, which is why it's actually the last of the books for me to read.
Well, see, I didn't really care for, well, know half of these people I picked up, but I was just like, I'm just going to go in this, you know, head first, and there wasn't a single one of these that I read that I didn't like. I was starting to be like, this is kind of lame, this is dumb, I don't like this bad guy's powers, and then I'm like, holy shit, they just killed all those people. That was brutal, that was different, and it, you know, totally turned around. I was like, that's a cool bad guy. I want to see, because it's some of these not big names. Like, as you said, Cyborg, Superman, people know who he is. Darkseid, you know, they know who he is. Deadshot, I never heard of him before. So for me, Ventriloquist, who's that? Desaad? Don't know.
Okay, so now Desaad, I get you not hearing of, but Deadshot, he's even been on the Arrow TV show.
No, I haven't watched much of that.
Okay. And the Ventriloquist, dude, he was always on the Batman animated series.
No, this is a chick.
Oh, it's a new version?
Yeah.
It's the new 52.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, and Count Vertigo, I don't know.
He Grodd. That one was really, Count Vertigo was the first one I was reading, and it was just like, this guy's got a weird, stupid power, Vertigo, ooh. But reading his story, I was like, actually, that's kind of cool.
So does he just make people seasick then, or?
It looks like, I don't know, because he's got some device that he hooks up to himself, but I don't know, but. Let's start with talking about Forever Evil. That's the book that kind of ties everything together and kicks it off.
This was a great issue.
Like, yeah.
I thought. And Kevin, you read this one too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This was. It was nothing. I had no expectations for this book. And wow, it just blew me away.
And give a little bit of credit here. Written by Jeff Johns, penciled by David Finch, inks by Richard Friend. Colors by Sonia Obak, and letters by Rob Lee.
I like that Jeff Johns is just trying to run DC. Let's just make Green Lantern as best as he can be, and then I'm going to go and do something even cooler with Forever Evil. Like, that man is on a mission
And that's in the series, and that's why people need to read Aquaman.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, Aquaman is hitting its stride. I really think it is. The last four or five issues. It is just I think it's an epic story. I remember Death of the King is the current story arc. Excellent work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did read some of the Green Lantern, like with the new guy in there, Boz.
Mm-hmm.
Read that for a while, and you know it. But it's always been hard for me to get into DC, and I've said it many times, and I think this is why I'm so excited about this. So I've always said, I think Marvel has better superheroes, but I think DC owns the market when it comes to their villains. That's my opinion. I think that's why this is a genius move on their part.
They were listening to you.
Probably. Well, and as everyone should. But you know, I got drawn into this, and Forever Evil
it set it up perfectly for what they planned on doing. Like, I just thought Villains Month was just going to be a run-of-the-mill, telling a story through the bad guy's perspective.
Bunch of one-shots.
Yeah, but they really set it up to where evil is running rampant now because the heroes are dead. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, we probably should have said that, huh? Yeah, but this was cool. And it was funny because you had read this one before I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sitting there going, who's this guy? Who's that guy? And you're like, talk to me after. You know, and I'm like, okay. And they explained everything very, very well in here.
It actually makes me want to – I didn't pick up Trinity War because I didn't really care. But since this is coming right out of the pages of Trinity War – I kind of want to know how the bad guys died.
Or I'll bring them over to you because actually I read the Trinity War in just one sitting. I read all six of them, and then the very next issue that I read was Forever Evil.
Yeah,
it was like, wow, this was a. It was a great mistake on my part. I didn't say a mistake because I hadn't read anything in a while, and just Trinity War is just something that was on my burner that I hadn't read, and I'm like, wow, that was great timing on my part. And there was actually a few other things too that there was a nice transition. I could see it a nice transition to, like, for example, I was reading Supergirl 23, who. The protagonist in that right now is Cyborg Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, what was Action Comics? That's where the Cyborg Superman is featured in. So there's some nice tie-ins to other comics is just going to be really, really cool.
What one thing I really want to give an awesome shout out to was the quadruple page, you know, spread, because it's more than a double page, because the at the center of the book in Forever Evil, that opens up and shows all of these villains, you know, standing around. Really cool and a lot of fun, because you just sit there and you're like, okay, I know who that is. Okay, I don't know who this is. I don't know who that is. Like the giant girl up in the upper right-hand corner. I don't know who this is. You know, she's just a great big girl. I'm like, okay. But it was sweet, because I'm like, well, I kind of want to know who this, you know, pink guy is. I want to know who these people are with the, you know, the cards on their masks. And it, because I don't read a ton of DC. A lot of these people are foreign to me, but this is the kind of shit that when I was a little kid, I just sit there and go, wow, I wonder who this is, and like kind of start making up your own story type of thing. And I probably would still make up a few stories on my own. But it was beautiful. And
well, like I said, not knowing how, I'm so glad that I did pick up this one, because I picked up all the other titles and I kept looking at it. I'm guessing this has to do with, you know, the Villains Month, but I wasn't too sure, because I'm like, I thought Villains Month, like I said, I didn't know I was going to have this whole overarching, you know, storyline. This thing, like I said, it ties it all together. And you're reading this and you're thinking, okay, maybe, you know, Lex Luthor has something to do with getting all these criminals out. But when the, was it the, oh, fuck, what the hell are they called? The, not Justice Society, Crime Syndicate.
Yes.
Yep.
When they come, I'm like, oh shit, I at least have heard of them from one of the DC movies. I don't know if they were actually in the DC books. Do you know, Kevin?
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah, they, but know. Did you ever see, there was, I think it was like Earth 2 or something, one of those DC cartoon movies that featured them when they went to this other Earth and found out that these polar opposites of the superheroes were bad guys. I'm like, sweet, that is totally cool that they introduced them into this world, and what they said is all the good guys are dead. Which makes it a lot more sense of why, number one, you're following these bad guys in the storybooks, and two, why they're getting away with it. Because shit is just unreal on some of these pages. Like, all these should have mature, rated, and they're all rated T for teen. No, these should be rated, like, NC-17 in some of these books with the way some people brutally die.
Yeah, I don't know about NC-17, but at least
you know what I'm saying, though. It's a little bit more than teen.
It should be from
mature readers. Mature.
Yeah.
The couple things though that really came out of this book that I was surprised, and I think is going to be a great part of the storytelling, is the reveal when they put on national television the Crime Syndicate, when they unmask Nightwing to reveal that he is, you know, Dick Grayson.
Yeah, that was very surprising.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, I've heard people say, well, Spider-Man unmasked himself during Civil War, but they figured out a way to pull that back. I don't know if they're going to even try to pull it back, and I kind of hope that they don't.
Yeah, then that was a big reveal from this. I think another huge thing that, well, it's kind of cool, and it was something that's kind of shown in some of the other pages was, at first, when you were like, is that Superman or whatever, when he came in?
Yeah.
But it was Ultraman, their evil Superman guy. And I knew who it was right when he was destroying the Kryptonite, because that gave him power. Because he's the opposite, so the sun makes him weak. And when he takes the moon to make an eclipse, that was, like, ingenious. And one of the things that I've loved with all these books is there's some tie-ins with a lot of actually the Batman bad guys and Scarecrow kind of recruiting them, which in Forever Evil, they showed him talking to, you know, his rogues gallery. And in Two-Face, especially when he's trying to give Two-Face a coin, you see, though, that there is stuff coming out of the Forever Evil pages into some of these comic books. And like I said, some of them are one-shots. But what's cool is when you're seeing some of these people walking around in these books and telling their stories that are happening now with the bad guys, you see in that sun being eclipsed right there, and you're like, it makes you feel like it's a whole enclosed, you know, event.
That sun becoming eclipsed was one of the very few things where, you know, obviously, I guess it's the little problem that I have, and it does go against itself. I have no problem believing in people with superpowers, you know, when it comes to these stories, but yet when he's moving the moon, I'm like, that totally is fucking up the tides. That's going to cause massive damage. I don't think the Earth can handle it. And I'm having a problem with that. But then I'm also going, the sun and the moon don't stay in the exact same spot at the exact same time. So the physics with that are wrong.
He could have, magic orbit, who knows?
Yeah,
But that's going to fuck up Aquaman's world then. Dude. Too bad he's not here.
I had one of those moments today. I was reading Aquaman. I'm thinking, how do they poop?
Aquaman?
Yeah, I mean, they just poop and then just like, oh, what's this? Right now, it's flipping by my head now.
Well, and sometimes it's like the goldfish that has a little string hanging out of his butt. There were a couple other cool things, though, that I thought was Superwoman. I didn't notice until my second time going back through and reading it that her lasso was actually barbed wire.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
That they did that.
That was cool. And I thought the speech that Ultraman gave at the end was awesome. You know, where he's saying that in our world, you know, it's a world that wastes its time protecting the weak. Your world fights against the most basic rule of evolution, natural selection. The progression of the human race has been halted by allowing those who offer society nothing to continue to consume and procreate and breathe. And I'm like, whoa. And like he just goes on to say the destitute are winning, but the war is not over. I'm like, man, that is like a very interesting way to look at things. And which is why, like, when I did this, you know, on our podcast from a few days back, with people who listened to it, with the pairing it for Booze in a Book with Noble Chaos, that's kind of what I was getting at. I didn't want to spoil anything at that point. But where you, to them, it is a nobility. They feel that they're doing the greater good for, you know, their species by wiping out these people that are not as powerful and that are really just dragging down, you know, going back to that whole buffalo theory.
So they're pretty much Magneto?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Brotherhood of Evil Mutants?
More or less.
Which, just to throw that out there, do you really believe in your cause when you call yourselves evil? I never got that, but...
Yeah, well, and that's why they just now are the Brotherhood now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really go out there in my day job and call myself, you know, the evil salesperson. But some people probably think I am. But yeah, that was a great book. Tony, do you know how many issues this is going to be?
The Forever Evil, I believe, is 8.
Okay.
8 issues for this.
And released.
Are they gonna probably do weekly.
Like, yeah, so you kind of do like an Age of Ultron where it's just about weekly.
I'm guessing it'll be weekly.
Good. Let's say like, even if it's like every other.
That's then 4 months.
That's huge.
Yeah, that was really cool. Kevin, what was out of the point ones? Which book really stuck out to you?
Really, for me, it was one of my favorite characters, which is Darkseid. Really, because it's just. I just love the strong characters that seem difficult to defeat. And that's part of the reason why I really have a man crush on Juggernaut. And yeah, he's taken down quite easily in the books, but the idea of you having something that's unstoppable, like just imagine Juggernaut in a world where you didn't have mutants. How the fuck would you stop him? You know, something like that would seems appealing to me.
I'd have a barbecue, and I'd invite him over to it, and then like halfway through his first rack of ribs, I'd give him something that would cause him to have really bad diarrhea.
Cha cha cha.
The unstoppable poops. I don't know.
But those type of characters kind of draws me to Darkseid. I mean, he is a badass motherfucker. With his Omega beams?
I'm not super familiar with Darkseid.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, the shit that comes out of his eyes is called the Omega beams. And that's pretty cool. He's just, you know, he's a world beater. And that's, it's really cool. So to see his origin in the pages, I really, really dug it. Because anytime he appeared in Superman crossovers, alternate worlds, he was always a entertaining character for me. So that's my pick.
Side note on this, Tony, you snagged something out of the dollar bin at our store here last week, was it?
Yep.
That was a DC Marvel crossover. It was Darkseid and who?
Versus Galactus.
Okay.
And dude, I love when they do those events. That's not really going to happen that much. I mean, we mentioned before He-Man versus DC on our normal podcast this week as best cover, but that's a cool crossover of two different universes. Whenever they do something like that, it just makes me want to have Ninja Turtles and Transformers so much.
Yeah. Here's something. You and I were talking the other night, and Kevin, tell me if you would be down for this. You know, years ago they did the amalgam, you know, the Marvel versus DC. They actually did it twice, where it was, you know, the heroes.
They had a versus, and then they combined them.
Yeah, and it was basically heroes versus heroes. I would love to see a villains versus villains between Marvel and DC.
Oh, yeah. That would be really sweet.
Yeah, because I got to admit, I think the hand tips a little bit to DC in their favor. But
except for...
Oh, I'm not saying on all of them.
Yeah, there's always going to be exceptions.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they ever do it, it'll be a perfect, you know, one for one on there. But,
well, one of the things, too, with that I'm at least guessing or getting the sense of, and especially because of the covers of these, you got these villains that look like they're coming, you know, they're going to be, you know, taking over. But one of the things you always got to have in the back of your mind is Lex is not really a bad guy per se. I mean, he is an evil, corrupt bastard, but he's always been trying to protect the world from this fucking alien that invaded, you know, America. And one of the things that I have a feeling is you're going to start seeing within these pages some of these bad guys who are not completely... I mean, they got Catwoman on here and Riddler and some of these people that it's like, yeah, they're bad guys, but they're not just evil. Yeah. And they're probably going to be like, fuck you, Crime Syndicate. This is our world.
And once again, why do they call themselves the Crime Syndicate?
One of those things.
Yeah, it's just a cover. I don't read too much into the cover. Because especially, like, you consider Catwoman. She's part of the Justice League of America.
Well, soon to be the JLA?
A?
Yeah, the JLC. Justice League Canada. Yeah, I don't know.
That's, like you said, though,
But it's a badass cover.
But I think that what we're going to see is some of these bad guys become the heroes.
I can see that.
Oh, definitely. From the pages itself, Lex in the pages. Oh, he sees what's going on. Yeah, he's going to be like, not on my Earth.
He doesn't want that to happen, though, too, because if that happens, where does he get his money and power from?
Yeah.
He doesn't
have because he's just a lowly human right now.
Well,
but what's the quote? Like, you know, if you don't stop being bad now, one day you'll wake up and be a hero or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Sounds good. Print that.
Yeah. you should write that down. Get famous off of it.
Sweet.
What about you, Derek? You asked me what I like. What from your five or six, which one did you
Hands down, the Cyborg Superman. Which is actually the Action Comics 23.1. And I've got to look in here to see who did this.
I mentioned it earlier. Was there any reference of Supergirl in that?
She is in this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is an origin story of Cyborg Superman. And it starts before Krypton explodes. And then, you know, after... Well, in this, it didn't actually fully explode, but like everybody was dying off, and then this beam came down, and is it Zor-El?
Zor-El.
Yeah. Zor-El was left there.
Zordon.
And was enhanced with these extra powers and cybernetics and made him quote unquote perfect. And then the whole thing is him going out trying to find other perfect beings. It is very dark. It is brutal, this book. Written by Michael Allen Nelson. Mike Hawthorne was the artist. Daniel Brown did colors. And Carlos M. Mangual did the letters. I hope I'm doing that right. And, you know, it's Aaron Cooter and Dan Brown did the cover. But this book, man, it was good. Like, I'm going to start reading Supergirl now just because of this, hoping that Cyborg Superman is in there more.
Yeah, I mean, they're still working on a pretty nice story arc right now in Supergirl. So yeah. I'm happy that I definitely subscribed to that book. That was a Hail Mary that I started picking up, and it's paid off.
Yeah, that's well, and this one, I mean, like, Supergirl's in here, but she's young, she's still on Krypton. She wasn't Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
She was just Kara.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Tony, did you have a favorite?
I had favorites. Like, there wasn't one that I truly hated, but there was three that stuck out in my mind that I really enjoyed. One of them only because it's going to go into the next big story arc of Green Lantern, Relic, who pretty much he's the only being from before this universe was created. He was in a world where it pretty much explains what this whole lights out thing is going to be with Green Lanterns, where... Yes, Derek?
So, before this universe was created, like, before, you know, before the Earth 1 or whatever we're talking, or are you talking before the new DC, or before the new 52, that he somehow managed to come from the old continuity?
No, not old continuity, just, like, he okay. just is from an old universe before now... We have ours.
I just wanted to make sure when we're talking universe okay. that we aren't talking like old DCU versus new 52. Yeah.
And when he went, and what explains who this, it's really cool that he has a standalone so that when you read the ongoing Green Lanterns, when they pick back up after this Villains Month, you're already going to have a sense of who this person is and what his whole deal is with trying to snuff out all the lights. So it sets it up very, very great in the sense of, you know who this guy is, and it explains his whole reasoning behind trying to stop all the different lanterns from pretty much using up all the power. Because he's seen it in the universe before, that stuff is not unlimited. So that was a really good one. I enjoyed Poison Ivy, only because I've never really cared for her, and it made me care for her. It gave me a sense of she had a shitty upbringing, she's smart in what she does, and
well, she of course she's smart, she's a botanist, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But just with how it explains her research with the pheromones and everything, and when she was working for Wayne Tech at first, mm-hmm. or at some point, I don't know, it was just a good overall story, and it gave me a sense more of kind of feeling sorry for her. The cover's hot.
The cover is why I bought it, and like I said, that's the only one I have not been able to read this week yet. The one that I
picked, I'm not done. Oh. I had my favoritist last.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had three of them that I was really excited about.
So if you had a favoritist, then technically you had a favorite. So why didn't you just use that one?
Because I want to talk about those other two as well.
Well, we can talk about all of them.
I'm greedy. Two-Face was hands down my favorite. I've always enjoyed him as a bad guy because it is straight up, you don't know what he's going to do. It's all random flip of the coin. He can be good. He could be bad. It's all on chance. And most bad guys, you can start seeing a pattern. Joker, you know kind of where he's going to be going with, you know, this or that once you start seeing that pattern. He has no pattern. It's random. And because of that, it starts off with, as I was explaining earlier, the Scarecrow kind of says, you know, he actually is talking to himself of, should he save the city or should he, you know, help it burn? And so he's going to flip his coin to pick if he's going to be a good guy in this whole thing or a bad guy. And Scarecrow comes along and says that he's recruiting people for the crime syndicate and giving them these special coins. There's some sort of communicator. So going over in this whole story arc, because power's out in half the world going on right now, and so
it's like Revolution,
yeah.
Except but, good,
yeah. And ultimately, Two-Face is like, I'm not working for anyone, but he decides to accept the coin because who knows, he may need to call on them or need to have backup, and that's what Scarecrow says ultimately is what they are looking for as well.
Well, and he likes coins, so
that I mean, too. That's where it's like that's perfect.
Yeah, just collect it.
Then you see him actually finish flipping his coin of what he's going to do. Actually, he flipped the coin to actually say if he was going to accept joining them or not, and it showed that he was going to join them. And then it shows if he is going to save the city or not. Sure enough, heads up, he's saving the city. So you're seeing him go through and find bad guys, people looting everywhere, and he has them come in front of his court, where he's judge, jury, and executioner. And it's all from Lady Liberty, flipping his coin. So he has all these bad guys that he's kind of captured, sitting up in front of him. He's flipping a coin, heads, life imprisonment, tails, guilty, or you're dead. And
heads, life in prison, tails, you're guilty. Wait, what?
And he doesn't care what it flips. If it flipped and it was someone he hated, well, you live to see another day in jail, you know, or he'll shoot you right there. And I just thought that was just so perfect for him. Ultimately, at the end, though, he gets called upon by the crime syndicate, and he tells these people to get the fuck out of his court. They don't. He then says, screw this, coin, throws that away, flips the coin again to see if he's going to still continue helping out the city or not, and it shows up tails. So now he's going to be a bad guy again. But it was cool for the issue, and it was, and I went on a little bit longer than I was going to about the certain book. But
the one book that I'm torn on was Creeper, and this was a book that I was incredibly excited about reading because I've always wanted to know about the Creeper.
I had no clue who the Creeper was, but it was Justice League Dark, so I'm like, yeah, that's probably something cool.
It was interesting. There are things about the character that I don't like. So, I mean, I it wasn't...
But you knew about this character before?
I knew of the character, but I didn't know anything about him.
I am kind of lost still because he looks like he's some sort of ghost that takes the body of some news reporter.
Yep.
So he's a bad guy that then gets trapped in this news reporter's body during the day.
No, he needs a body as a vessel.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with the story, but I still think the character's interesting. But it's not. It was not. That's not a negative on the writing or on the art. It's just that's who the character is. You know. So I'm just kind of like, eh.
I still. Okay. I mean, like I said, that was cool. Out of all the books, was probably my least favorite, but I still enjoyed it because at the end it was like, this is still interesting.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm like, I still liked it, and I actually would still recommend it, but I guess I would say, don't expect it to fall under any normal villain or hero like you've ever seen, because it's not. It's it was probably the toughest read out of all of them because it's very in depth, and it was cool to see that. The Joker, what'd you think?
I liked it. It made me feel a little sad for him. Like, seeing his... And here's the thing, too, though. I can't ever believe a Joker story because you don't know if it's bullshit or not.
A Joker origin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to believe it, and I feel then terrible for his upbringing and his aunt. Was it Aunt Eunice? Or,
yep.
Yeah. And it made me feel, like, happy for him when he got his little pet baby monkey.
Yeah, which...
Jack and Apes.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jack and Apes was not a happy monkey.
No, and that's... No, I liked the differences between his upbringing and him trying to, with the monkey, give the monkey everything that he didn't. Like, was it... had homeschooling or whatever, and he wrote him up for like 1 week's detention for something, gave him a Sunday because he felt that's what's needed to encourage him.
Yeah, the last one I wanted to mention was Bizarro number one, otherwise known as Superman 23.1. Liked the story a lot.
Oh, very much so.
Very disappointed that I didn't get to see Bizarro.
But you got the sense of where he came from now.
Yes.
And I was a little upset that it wasn't Bizarro, but it was a previous Bizarro, I guess.
Yeah. Bizarro 1.0.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are just making me sad that I haven't read half of these.
Well, that pretty much covers all the ones that I have read. Yeah. But it was a cool story. But I want to see Origin of Bizarro. You know, that's just who I am. Hmm. You know, it's, and Kevin, I'll fill you in here just a little bit. In the New 52 universe, Lex is actually the one that creates Bizarro. He doesn't come from another universe.
Okay.
He's trying to create super Lex-Men, I guess, if you will, that can go out there and stop Superman. But they'll also be noble and will fight crime and all that, but get rid of this evil alien mm-hmm. that has invaded Earth. But yeah, things go wrong, obviously. And he's growing clones out of his own DNA mixed with some blood from Superman.
Okay.
So that's how Bizarro eventually ends up coming to be. At least that's what they allude to.
Yeah.
But I really would like to see them do a story with Bizarro in it. But I don't think it's going to happen necessarily in these.
Bizarro number one. Me Bizarro.
Yeah. Well, it really was truly a true Bizarro number one because you would expect him to be in it, but in Bizarro world, he's not. Yeah. But yeah, that covers all of the ones that I
do. Do you guys have any issue that you do look forward to coming up?
I need to. Oh, yes. Two in particular. I do like Harley Quinn quite mm-hmm. a bit, so I'm very excited to see that. In fact, for a while, I was reading Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep.
Suicide Squad? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading that for quite a while strictly because of her character. And Joker's daughter. I'm really looking forward to seeing what that one is.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. I honestly, I don't know anything about Joker's daughter.
From what I understand, Joker's daughter is sometimes said to be the daughter of the Joker, sometimes said to be the daughter of Two-Face. Just going to be really interesting. I mean, looking through these other ones,
I'm looking forward to DC Deadpool, or I mean, what's his name? Not Deadshot.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This guy.
Deathstroke?
Yeah, Deathstroke. You know that's who Wade Wilson is, right? He was a copy of him.
Okay. Oh, was he?
Yeah. Okay. Like a mockery of him. And they're actually in the... When they've had some crossovers, they've had that discussion with them of...
Well, he's got lots of pouches.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Swords. Looking through these, the ones that I'm interested in, Brainiac, I've always been curious in that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and if I tell you if that interest, if you read that and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool, definitely Superman. The current story is setting up for a reintroduction of Brainiac onto Earth. It's a really good story.
I'm kind of curious to see Zod. You know, at this point, Riddler. I've always been interested in the Riddler. Tony, what other ones in there are you looking at that you want to see?
Reverse Flash, only because I find that the stupidest name in the world. Like, you couldn't come up with a better name than Reverse Flash.
Yeah, like, why not Hisself? Because that's just the Flash spelled backwards. So it's a reverse. Scarecrow, I like Scarecrow because he's mm-hmm. always creepy as shit.
I think for me, Black Hand is going to be cool. Ra's al Ghul, but the one that I'm looking forward to the most is the Court of Owls.
Yeah, see that one, I'm not.
If you would have read, if you would have read that first story arc of Batman, you would think, holy shit, you need to pick up that book.
Now here's a question. I thought Lobo was kind of a hero.
He's
it's the New 52, baby.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering if in that Lobo, is that when they're going to unleash America's next top Lobo?
Yeah.
You know, the new version of him. I'll probably pick that one up. I'll probably pick up Black Manta. You know, and I'm yeah. probably going to pick up Ocean Master because I'm curious about Ocean Master.
Well, as I told you, I'm going to pick up all of them, so fuck my bank account.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're gonna be hurting. And Killer Frost,
Yeah, it looks like a Chick Frost.
Yeah. Probably pick that one up. I mean, I'll probably pick up 5 or 6 each week as they come out. Hopefully I don't have the week like, you know, one of your weeks when they just all happen to come out in one week and I have to buy every single one. But I am going to pay the extra dollar. Oh, I probably will pick up the Lex Luthor because I really want to see where he's tying into a lot of this. So I'll probably pick that one up too. But yeah,
the extra dollar for these 3D covers is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Like I think it's well worth it. Tony's concern is when we meet these artists and writers at different conventions, are you going to have him sign it? Because he's like, well, it's going to get kind of sloppy, you know, because it's that ridged cover. But I don't think it will. I think it'll be fine.
Yep. So, listeners, if you haven't yet, take out an extra loan on your house and buy all these comic books.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, for those of us that, I mean, Kevin, you are the exception to the rule on this show of the one that buys more DC than other publishers.
Except this week.
Yes. Where it's bizarro week. Yeah. I got to say, good job, DC. You got me to read some of your books and you got more of my money. Didn't necessarily mean that I spent any less money on other publishers because I did end up going back and buying more.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back and bought more from other publishers, I also bought more DC. but yeah, the covers, man, they're pretty. They bring you right in because they're so bright. You know, I mean,
they just pop. Like, they come out at you.
Yeah, it's like it's coming right at you.
Yeah, it's not 2D. It's that extra dimension. What do you call that?
Time.
Double D. At least the Poison Ivy cover is. all right, that does it for me, Tone.
Yeah, that does it for me.
All right, good.
Until next time we decide to talk about all these fucking titles.
Which I'd say maybe 2 weeks. Because a week from now, little sneak preview, listeners, we're going to have Drunk on Lawyers.
Yeah.
Where we got some very nice young ladies that are also attorneys coming in to talk about comics and legal issues.
Within the universes and without.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're getting creepy, Tony.
I guess. That's what they are going to say.
To their attorneys. all right, I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
K. Boner.
All right, guys. Keep reading the books. Thanks for listening to the special editions. We'll be back this weekend with our regular podcast. See ya.